This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
The room. Good to see everybody. If you have your app, go ahead and take that out. If you have your Bibles, Acts chapter 2, we're there. And as we're preparing, is there anything ready? What I want you to do something in the room and at home online. I'm going to give you kind of a prompt and have you repeat something back to me. And then online, I want you to write this. So here's what I'm going to say, and then we'll do the thing. Basically, I want to say, because Jesus died, I am alive. Okay, so that's kind of what I wanted to just address today after that song we sang, just knowing where our life comes. I'll say, because Jesus died, then you say, I am alive. Okay, and at home, you're going to write, I am alive. You guys ready? All right, let's do this. Because Jesus died, I am alive. And that's a great thing to say. I mean, that's where everything just kind of flows, is from Jesus Christ, right? And just knowing him and having our life in him. And today we're starting a new series that we're calling Rooted. And I am so excited. For me, it was a journey of about a year. 1 year ago this month, I went to a church in Virginia as part of a board meeting. I'm on a group called Waypoint. They are a church planning organization. So we went to this church for this meeting, and this church had just bought a Costco, if you can imagine, a closed-down Costco, and they had converted into a church, and it was just a kind of amazing facility. Just walking through, they had done some very creative things, very similar to what we've done here, but on a bigger scale. And they were talking about, while we were there, just what God was doing. And it wasn't just a building. It was really what God was people doing in people's lives. As they were giving their life to Christ, they were seeing baptisms happen. They were seeing lives changed. And I met with one of the staff members when I was there, and I said, you know, what do you see God at work? And what's God doing next? And she said, this is what I'm seeing. I think God's saying to us, yeah, people are coming to Christ, but we need to disciple them. We need to help them to grow. We need to help them to move forward. And I said, well, what are you going to do for that? She said, we just discovered something called Rooted, something that God is doing around the world. It's not a program per se. It's just a chance, a tool to help us really encounter God in a different way, a fuller way. And I remember hearing that, just going, okay, that's something I want to keep in the back of my mind. I need to investigate this, just see. And I felt the Spirit just kind of prompting, just watch this, see what's going to happen. And then a few months later, we got an email saying to me, hey, Rooted is coming to your area. They have a time that you can come find out about it. It was over in Durham. So one of our elders, Bob Fye, and I took a trip to Durham, and we met with people from all over the Southeast, from all kinds of churches, all different backgrounds, and we were presented with the idea of Rooted. And if you have your Rooted books and you read the introduction, you know that Rooted came out of a church in California that was partnering with a church in Nairobi, Kenya. And here's the thing, as Americans, we go someplace and try to fix things, right? Try to show them how to do stuff. They went to Kenya and they discovered that the Kenyans, at least in these particular churches in Nairobi, were making better disciples, more alive disciples than they were in their church in California. And they said, we need to learn from you. How are you doing this? And they said they had a program called Rooted that they had kind of created. And so basically they brought that back to the U.S. But again, it's not a program. It's a chance to encounter God. So I saw that and I go, that's something, again, I need to keep my eyes on. This is something I think God's calling us to do. And we looked at this because we believe God's called us to make disciples. And the way we define a disciple here, and you'll always see at the bottom of our outlines, is three kind of phrases. The first one is this, devoted to Jesus. We feel called to help people get Christ-centered, to help them to follow Jesus in every way and to be devoted to him. He's number one in their life. He is everything to them, and this is what we want to see happen in people's lives. It's not about doing church. It's not about doing a program or doing a set thing. It's about connecting people with Jesus who gives life, and so we want people to be devoted to Jesus. But not only that, we want to be developing in Jesus, and what does that mean? That means growing. Constantly growing, constantly getting more like Jesus. We keep learning till God calls us home. So no matter how long you've been following Jesus, we don't want people just stuck there, right? We want them to say, there is more to learn, there's more to grow, and so we're developing in Jesus. And then finally, deployed by Jesus. And what does that mean? That means when Jesus calls you to do something, we go. And every day we live on mission. And every day we say, God, who is it you want me to talk to? And how do you want me to make decisions? And where do you want me to go? And it's being fully yielded and fully surrendered to Christ. And that's what a disciple looks like. And as we heard about Rudy, we go, I think that'll help us get there. A tool to help us get there. Now today we're beginning a 10-week journey that, again, we're going to start today. It's going to continue on over the next few weeks. And we're asking you to be in prayer, and we're just asking you to be saying to God, what do you want me to do? How do you want to work in my life? And this whole journey is based on a verse, Colossians 2:7. And so you'll see this come up from time to time. Colossians 2:7, New Living Translation. Paul was writing to the church in Colossae, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and this is what he wrote. He says, let your roots grow down into him, him being Jesus, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. So at the end of this 10-week journey, what do we want? Four things from this verse. We want all of us to grow down deep into Jesus. Our spiritual roots just embedded to him. That's where we get our nourishment from. Instead of getting our nourishment from our hobbies or something we watch on TV or philosophies we picked up from different places, we want us to dig our roots deep into Jesus, because especially now, right, with everything going on, it's easy to get discouraged and to wonder what's going to happen. And yet, Jesus tells us, dig our roots into him. And then let your lives be built on him. That's huge too. Instead of like building your lives, our lives on like our jobs or our relationships, to build our lives on him. Because when the storm comes, and the storms do come, we want to have a firm foundation that will hold up, and that's Jesus. Then two more things. It says your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught. We want to grow stronger in our faith, our trust in God. And then finally, we will overflow with thanksgiving. And that's something that's so unusual, right? In the world today, you hear very little thanksgiving. What do we hear mostly? We hear complaining, criticizing, division, tearing people down. We want to be a people that look at what God's doing and go, we're thankful because God is working in our lives. And so this series is going to end right before Thanksgiving. I can't think of any better way to kind of wrap up going, okay, God, we are grateful for all that you have done in our lives. When I was in high school, I used to run track. I wasn't very good. I enjoyed it. I ran the half mile. I ran the mile. And then I ran cross country. And I remember one of the things about running, and it's the same for football, same for basketball. It's the same if you're in some sort of performing arts. It's right before you get started, right? For me, it was lining up the starting line. And I felt two things. Always felt these two things. One was nervousness. It was like this little butterflies were going in my stomach, and you just feel all the tension building up, because what's going to happen? It's going to hurt. This is going to be painful a little bit. It's going to be hard. But also excitement. We're about ready to be unleashed as we go into this race, or if you're about to start a football game or about to do a performance. And I feel that way about Rooted. I feel a little bit of nervousness, like what is God going to do and how is this going to work? And we already have things happening now, which is kind of exciting. We just started our first children's ministry online. There's like getting all the technology going, and there was a small group that just finished meeting over here in the other room where half of them were in the room and half of them were online. And we're going, how is this going to work and how's it going to go? And it works so well, but it took a little scrambling to get there. So a little bit of nervousness, a little bit of excitement. But both of those things, and we're just standing on this line ready to get started. I told you guys a few weeks ago about a race that I got hooked on. It's on Amazon Prime, and it's called The World's Toughest Race. And my family will tell you I'm a little obsessed with this. I've watched it twice now. It's a 10-episode thing. It's a real race. It's not just a reality show. It's a real race. It's called adventure racing. I didn't know there was such a thing. I probably would have done it if I had known about it when I was younger. Basically, adventure racing is you start at one point, and you have to end up at another point within a certain amount of time, okay? But rather than being a race around a track, you actually go out in the woods and the wilderness and do the race. And the race that they just showed was in Fiji. It's called the World's Toughest Race, the Eco Challenge, okay? 417 miles. That's a long way. And they do things in this race like kayaking. They do river rafting, outrigger canoe. They do rappelling and rock climbing. They go through bone-chilling ponds. I didn't know in Fiji that the water can get to 50 degrees up in the mountains, up in the pools, and it just caused like people to get frozen. They did some amazing things, okay? Absolutely amazing things. And they just did it together as a team. What they did is divide every group into four people, mixed gender, and they represented over 30 countries, and there was over 66 teams. And they stood at a starting line and they said, go. But what I love about it wasn't just the race. I love the stories, some amazing stories. They had a young man from Georgia, 17 years old, I think, when the race started, youngest racer. He turned 18 during the time. And he did the whole thing with his dad. He started racing when he was 7 years old. Can you imagine taking a 7-year-old on a walk for 400 miles? I can't imagine doing it now. So he was the youngest racer. And then they had a group called the Stray Dogs. The Stray Dogs were all in their 60s. The oldest one was 68. And they just plugged on. They'd been racing for years. They wanted one more shot at this thing. And so 60-year-olds doing this, climbing over rocks, climbing up hills, mountain biking up these steep hills, just crazy stuff. But one of their teammates this year was not on their team. His name was Mark Macy, one of the greatest adventure racers they ever had lived. But this year, he discovered that year of racing that he had Alzheimer's disease. And his son, who was an elite athlete, said, "Dad, I want to go with you." Because they didn't want to put him on a team of older people that would not be able to help him. His son said, "I will take you." And it was one of the most poignant things I've ever watched, was watch his son take his dad mile after mile through the wilderness with Alzheimer's. And all four of their team just kind of rallied together. There's a really powerful point where Travis, the son, reaches out and takes his father's hand and says, "I'll help you and guide you." And he talks about how his father, when Travis was little, used to carry him by the hand. And now as the son, he's taking his father by the hand and helping him through the race. As part of this race, they had the world's greatest adventure racer, a guy named Nathan Farave. He's a New Zealand person, and their best team is from New Zealand. Nathan was the Michael Jordan of adventure racing, 6-time world champion. 48 years old, came out of retirement to run again, and he and his team finished the course in 5 days. I'll go ahead and ruin it for you. They won, and they won because they didn't sleep but a few hours during the time, maybe 4 to 5 hours the whole time. And they just supported one another, and they helped each other up, and they just kept encouraging one another. All great stories, but probably my favorite one was the Fijian team. Actually, there were two teams of Fijians representing the home country. They weren't elite athletes. They just wanted to finish. So everywhere they went, they got this huge cheer, right? And they finally decided, we're going to form one team to help each other, encourage each other. You have to finish the race within 12 days. And so they pushed, and they helped, and they scrambled, and they got beat up on this course. At the very end, I'll ruin it for you as well, they finished just in time. And at the end, they got their medal, because in this thing, participation medals count because you finished. They said that 99% of the world couldn't do 30 kilometers of this race, and they did over 600 kilometers, just amazing stuff. And I learned a couple of things about this and about myself watching this. One is I let obstacles slow me down way too much. I see people out there just for a race willing to push themselves hard. And as a Christ follower, sometimes I will just stop and I'll go, "Oh, it's too hard. It takes too much time. It's a little bit more difficult," especially with COVID right now, huh? It's easy to kind of throw your hands up and say, "I don't think I can do this." And yet people every day are able to overcome obstacles. The second thing I learned from this is it's a bit ironic that I'm sitting there watching this thing on TV. I see people suffer and they push through, and I'm sitting in my air-conditioned house on my sofa cheering them on, right, instead of getting out there. So I got inspired by this. I began to up my number of steps per day quite a bit. One day I watched it, and I went out and mowed the grass. I pushed the lawnmower through that because it was like, I got to get do something. And one of the things we want to do with Rooted is this. We want to say, we're going to have to push a little bit, guys, with COVID-19. There's some important stuff out there, but we can't allow it to slow us down. We're going to adapt. That's one of the things we've learned. We're going to adapt. We're going to figure this thing out. We're going to push, and we're going to say, God, work in ways, but we don't want to just stop and say, okay, we're going to hunker down. We want to get into the game. I think a lot of Christ followers, what we'll do is we'll read something in the Bible and go, that was cool, that was interesting. We'll read about somebody of great faith and go, that's a great story. But we don't realize that God has a great story he wants to write in our life too. God wants to do some amazing things, and sometimes we have to get off the couch and we got to get in the game and say, God, work in my life. That's what happened in the very first church. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. If you'll turn there, and what we want to do is look at this church and go, the very first church, about how excited they were And what God was doing there, and here at Bridges, that's one of the things we want to look at. What was that first church like, and how did they do life? Because Jesus had come, he had led them, he died for them, he ascended, the Holy Spirit came to empower them, and then they had to figure out, what does it look like to live for Jesus when Jesus isn't here? Just like we're doing today, when he's not here physically, but we have the Holy Spirit. How does this work? And we want to look at some connections they made during this time, and we want to say, can we make the same connections? Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47 describes what God was doing. I want to read it for you as you follow along. It says this: "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple and together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." To kind of pick up what was happening there, I mean, a pretty exciting time. I'm sure every day they woke up and go, what's God going to do today? And whose life's going to be changed? And they watched people come in with certain mindsets and certain maybe habits, people that were called sinners, and they saw them transform before them, and they saw them give their lives to Christ, and they were walking away every day going, man, look at God. They made three connections that we're going to do the same here in Rooted. On your outline, you'll see they're really simple connections. We'll just talk about them real quick. The first community of Christ followers made a connection. They connected to God. That was a big part of their gathering together. They didn't just do church. They didn't just show up. They didn't just go through the motions. They were connecting to God. They studied and they learned about God from the apostles, and they took that in. They spent time in prayer, connecting with God. And then they were in awe of what God was doing, and that's what I love. It wasn't just thinking about it and talking about it, but they're actually seeing him work in people's lives, and it brought them to a place of awe. Look at what God's doing, and it changed them. And they praised and they worshiped, not because of habit, but they did it because they were so joyful and so in awe of what God was doing. It just came out of them. And they were connecting to God right and left. And if you had to ask me anything I want for Bridges, that's it. That people are connecting with Jesus right and left. And out of that connection, their lives are being changed. Their hearts are being changed. They're excited. They're enthusiastic. They're just going, God, just continue to use me. So they connected to God. The second thing they did was they connected to one another, which is what the church is, right? They connected to one another. I have to be really careful of my language. Maybe you too. Instead of calling this the church facility, I sometimes call it the church. You ever fallen into that trap? This building is not the church. It's the people in this room and watching online who call Bridges home. It's the gathering. It's the called out ones. And they were connected to one another because they didn't have a building. They met in the temple, which didn't belong to them, and they met in people's homes. But it was the community itself. They were connected to one another. And they did life together. Did you notice what happened when someone was in need? What did they do? They sold things. They sacrificed. They helped one another. They were there for one another. They helped support one another. And they just spent time together. And that's what the church needs to be about. Now, I'll admit, in COVID, it's harder, isn't it? I'm in a room with people wearing masks. I had mine on just a second ago. It puts a barrier a little bit, doesn't it, between us? And it's a little bit harder to do that. We have people online. We have people online that are watching from Virginia to New York to Arizona to California, at least the ones we've identified with. And we are learning that you can still do community and not be together in the same place. And that's huge. We can connect to one another and say, see what God's doing all around us. So they connected to one another, and it was part of a movement of God. The third thing they connected to was their purpose. They connected to their purpose. You see what it said at the very end? Every day, someone was coming to know Jesus. Every day, someone was being saved. Every day, someone was giving their life to Jesus and being eternally changed. Man, that just excites me to hear that. And it should everybody. There were fishermen there. There were farmers there. There were tax collectors there. They all had their jobs, but they didn't see their lives as their jobs as their lives. They saw their purpose as sharing their story, their simple stories of what God was doing, and seeing God use those simple stories to change lives. And they were connecting to their purpose. A lot of us do things that probably, you know, in the moment they're important, but they don't last. What lasts are people's souls, eternal souls of people. And when we see them come to know Jesus, we've done something with God as God works through us that changes their eternity. So they connected to their purpose. And we want to do all three of those things in Rooted. We want to connect people to God, connect them to community, and connect them to their purpose. So what is Rooted? I mean, if you have your books and you can read that introductory chapter in there and get a feel for it. But I just want to walk through some real simple things about what we're going to do in the next 10 weeks. So what's Rooted? Number one on your outline, it's a daily walk with God. Really simply, we want to become like that first church. So it's a daily walk with God. If you have your books, what we want you to do is begin reading them. We have some here today. If you haven't gotten one, you can pick it up. But basically, the idea is every day, starting in week two, we want you to get off by yourself, get to a quiet place where you can spend time with God, read that particular day's reading. It's not very long. Listen to what God has to say to you. Circle some things in the passage that you're reading. Underline some stuff. Write down some reflections. Do that for 5 days each week. It's how it's set up. And then for those of you in small groups, what you're going to do is you're going to get in your small group and you're just going to go around and go, this is what stood out to me. This is what God was saying to me. This is what I saw. But it all flows out of that daily walk with God. Because building that habit, building that relationship is a day-to-day thing. If you're in a small group, you're going to read intro the very first week before your small group and then have your small group and then read week two. If you're not in a small group, then what we're asking you to do is go ahead and read intro and week two this week. I'm going to preach on that next week, so week two. So you can kind of follow along. Even if you're not in a small group, you can do that. The second thing about Rooted, number two, is it's about community. It's about community. Again, just like that first church, we want to see God build a community in person and online. And what a great thing that's been. Each week in our online services, we see the comments. We see what people are doing. So we're going to keep doing that week to week on Sunday mornings. We're going to talk about Rooted. Going to talk about that main topic each week. So join in there. But in your small groups, that's where you're really going to grow. The small groups in Acts chapter 2, they met in house to house, just like we're doing. And again, it was so fun to see. I got a chance to see the small groups in the children's ministry and walk around and see these kids that are online, and they're connecting, and just watch them, even though they're not in the room, they're still growing, they're still learning, they're still hearing the stories, they're still interacting. That is so cool to me. Now, what if you're not in a small group? Maybe it didn't work out for the time. We have several people that I know of that are getting together in their families. They're reading and they're just creating their own small group. And what a great way to build your family on your faith. You just read together, talk about it, see what God's saying to you, and allow God to work. So create your own small group. Find someone that's also reading Rooted and just dive in together. Number three, the third thing we're going to find is disciple making. Disciple making, that's what it's all about. It's all about making disciples, followers of Jesus, connecting them, learning how to follow day to day. Now, if you're in a small group, you're going to have a facilitator. And let me tell you what they're going to do. They're not going to teach. This is not that kind of situation. Their job is to draw you out, to help you learn, to encourage you. One of the things I loved about the world's toughest race is every team had a captain, and their job was simply to encourage, to help repair people when they were broken in the sense that they would fall and scrape their knees or they would get beaten up and they would just help them to keep going. That's what your facilitator is going to do, is just encourage you to listen to God and keep going. And that's how disciples are made, disciples of Jesus. Number four, one of my favorite things about this whole thing we're going to do is faith in action. We want to see our faith in action. Again, a lot of us, you know, we'll watch TV and we'll watch someone play football or tennis or baseball. The other day we had all six of our pro leagues happening on the same day. It's the first time it's ever happened, I heard. I think it was Thursday. But what happened is a lot of us were sitting there watching while other people are participating. One of the things we want to do is get everybody in the game, everybody up and moving. So here's what's going to happen, just some things. Week three, there's a prayer experience. It's in your book. And in your small group, you're going to have your regular small group, and then you're going to meet again for prayer. But here at the church, and you might want to get this date down in your calendar, October 1st or October 3rd, you can come here to the church facility. We're going to have a prayer experience here. And we're going to meet outside. We're going to do social distancing. We're going to help create stations where you can go and just spend some unhurried time with God in prayer and just seeking Him. So it's Thursday, October 1st, and Saturday, October 3rd. We'll put these times out for you. Come here, pray together, bring your small group. If you're not in a small group, just show up and put your faith into action. And then we're going to share our stories. Even if you're not in a small group, we want you to be able to share your story. Well, this is what God's doing right now. So often we think, well, I only can share my conversion story, and that's an awesome thing to share. But what God is doing in your life right now is important for people to hear. So we're going to share our stories. One of the things I'm really excited about is we're going to put our faith in action through something called Multiply 2.0. If you were here last year as part of the church, you know that what we did was last year we gave out money to every family, $100 to every family. And we said, we want you to take this and we want you to multiply it. And we based it on the parable that Jesus told about the talents, where he had a man who owned a business and he was leaving. He gave away to three different servants or employees. He gave them money based on their ability. And he says, now I want you to go do something with it. Go put it into practice. And he left and he came back. And after a certain amount of time, he came back and two of them had doubled their money and the other one had buried it. But he said to the two that had doubled their money, he said this, well done, good and faithful servant. And we saw people learn and grow, and we were so excited about it. We said, let's do that again. Just take what we've learned, and let's do more with it. So today I want you to see a video of what some people did last year and kind of how it's going to work this year. So let's watch this video together. In 2019, we took a step of faith as a church. What we did was something we called Multiply. We gave out $100 to individuals and families, about 44 different people and families. And basically we said, invest this money, find something creative to do, and then take the profits and bring them in. And we're going to use that money for our ministry center, the Bridging the Gap Ministry Center. Really want to see lives transformed. We want to see our community transformed. And we were so excited about what God did. We said, let's do it this year. And so here's some of the stories that we heard from last year. So tell us what you did for Multiply last year.
So last year for Multiply, I sold some smoked meats. We did ribs, pork loin, Boston butt as pulled pork, and a beef brisket.
Last year we organized the yard sale at the Murray Road property, and we had a lot of fun. It was good.
Last year for the Multiply campaign, Edelina and I made enchiladas.
We rode on a rower machine, 36,000 meters as a fundraiser. And why 36,000?
21,000 meters were rowed by me because 21% of school-aged children in North Carolina are food insecure.
Yep, and I did 15,000 meters because 15% of the families in North Carolina are food insecure.
And what did you learn from doing it last year?
She wanted Ms. Norris to learn it so she can know how to make it at home.
Personally, it was fun to learn to cook from Edelina and to watch her do that as well.
I learned a lot. Before the Multiply campaign, I hadn't really done a whole lot of smoking of meats. So I learned a lot about how long it'll take to do the smoked meats, different recipes.
It was a long time on the rower, and they need to have comfortable seats. Yeah, just the generosity of people. I mean, we had a goal in mind and far exceeded that. Just people really stepped up, and it was very humbling.
Just how giving people are and how caring they are. A lot of people that that we're friends with in different facets of our lives heard about what we were doing and they contributed. People that are in different states that I've come in contact with, that I have various associations with, just very forthcoming and very giving, very much wanting to help children and families in our area when they heard that we were raising money for our church's food pantry.
Do you know what you're going to do this year?
We do.
And can you tell us what that is?
We're going to sell eggs from chickens we've raised. Where it came from, just so you'll understand the origins of this, I convinced Jamie a while back to get some chickens earlier this spring. From that point,
you and I had a conversation.
Yeah, and then a big conversation about what it would take to have more chickens.
It was mainly Jacob having a conversation with Lily, and Lily convincing us, hey, we're going to get more chicks, and this is why I'm going to name them.
And they had Lily talk to Jamie about that, and so that's always a win-win situation.
Yeah, this year I'll be smoking some more meat. I'll probably reduce my my selection of meats. I'll probably take out the beef brisket. I know some of you will probably hate me for that, but it was a little bit difficult.
¿Otra comida más? ¿O cómo?
She said of another food or...
Pozole rojo o verde o tacos dorados.
She said red or green pozole or tacos dorados.
I think so. So in a weak moment, trying to think of something different to do because we didn't want to row again, somebody had a great idea of, why don't we do a mile of burpees? And somebody else was like, yeah, that's a great idea. We spoke it to other people before we actually really thought about it. And I think we're going to do that.
So it's going to be a burpee mile. So if you know a burpee, it's essentially an up-down. And then once you finish that, you have to do a broad jump forward and then wash, rinse, and repeat 4 times around a track.
So, pray for us, number one, that we survived that. And then, it should be fun. It'll be a challenge, and we like physical challenges. We like doing that kind of stuff, so.
Here, let me show you.
There's some great stories. Hey, you can do it too. This year, you're going to get $100 as well. And we want you just to think, to pray, to be creative. Say, God, what can I do with this? And then at the end, we want you to bring all the money in November 15th, and we're going to celebrate what God did. You can do anything. You can sell something. You can do an activity. You can get sponsors. Just the sky's the limit. And we're excited about what you're going to do. And let's see what God will do for you as we let him multiply what we give him. All right, so today to kick this off, before you can leave, you have to burpee your way out the building, okay? So we want to see who can actually do that. Can you imagine a mile of burpees? It's crazy. But one of the things is like the enchiladas that were made last year. After eating those, you need to do a mile of burpees. They were so good. They were so excellent. This year, they're doing pozole. And I love the eggs. If you hear the part about the eggs, did you understand that was a 3-year-old's idea? It was Lily, their Jacob's little daughter, Jacob and Jill's little daughter. So she birthed that idea. So children, you guys think of something for your parents to do. That's awesome. And put them to work. But if you... we're in a small group, and you got your book. You're getting $100 for your family to do. And just as a small group, you may pull your money together. The eggs are all like they're pulling money together from different people to buy chickens and getting that going. You can do something on your own. If you're not in a small group and you still want to participate, just email us, info@bridgeschurch.net, and let us know what you're doing. We'll send you the money that you can invest as well. I'm excited about that. Last year, we gave out a little over $4,000, and God brought in a little over $24,000. And all of it's going to our ministry center and the 10-year vision to see God not only help us to minister to people in poverty, but to help people get out of poverty. And that's really the goal, to introduce them to Jesus while they're doing that as well. So we'll give out the money. You may have already received it. Pray about it. See what God wants you to do. And then on November the 15th, we're going to bring all that back by that day. We're going to collect it. And that leads to number 5, the 5th thing that we want to see happen in Rooted. Number 5 is this. We want to celebrate. See the celebration happen. On November the 22nd, the week afterwards, we're going to have a celebration service in here. And one of the things I'm excited about, we're going to start announcing stuff. Like, we're going to announce how much came in from Multiply this year and what God did. We're also going to announce something that's kind of been going under the scenes. For the people that have been calling Bridges a home for a while, it's their church. We began raising money years ago, not even sure what for. We knew we needed a facility, so we were raising money for that. This came up, but people have been raising money the whole time. And actually, that 2-year process ends in the middle of this. And we're going to be over our goal, it looks like. And so we're going to announce during that time, this is what God did for what's called Building to Serve. So that's exciting. Something else is going to happen on that day, on that celebration, November 22nd, is we want some of you to tell your story. And this is the way you're going to tell your story. It's called cardboard testimonies. You ever seen this before? Where somebody stands up with a piece of cardboard and they hold it up, and it has something on one side and then what God did on the other side. Like one I saw said this, filled with bitterness and then learning to live in the freedom of forgiveness. Maybe that's someone here. I saw another sign that said, felt undeserving of God's grace, and they flipped the sign. The beauty of grace is that no one is deserving. Isn't that cool? I mean, they learned that over the 10 weeks, that grace, no one deserves it. Someone held a sign in a video from another church that said, no relationship with God, and they flipped it. Pursuing a relationship with Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Wouldn't you love to see that? God's going to do all kinds of stuff. I was afraid to pray. Now I pray every day. I mean, whatever God does, we want some of you just to be part of that. We're going to video that and show it too in the celebration of changed lives. And something else that we're really excited about, if you have not been baptized yet and you want to take that public step and tell people, my life is with Jesus now, because we're in this facility and we have a baptistry that's mobile, we can now bring it in here and do baptisms in this room. So November 22nd, if you haven't been baptized yet and you want to take that step, we want to do it that day. And that's the week before Thanksgiving. Can you kind of picture what that day will be like? I mean, can you get the vision of it, that God changing lives, and we want to celebrate every one of those. I'm excited. I hope that you are too. We're standing on a line, a starting line, and we're getting ready to get going. And so would you pray with me and join with me as we do that? I want to read a verse as we finish out our service. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 26. The Apostle Paul was writing to a church he wanted to encourage, and he said this, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he wrote, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. We're about to start running in this series we're calling Rooted. We're going to start this week with reading our book. We're going to start in our small groups. We're going to start praying. We're going to start listening to God. We're going to start moving out in faith. Some people are already, I think they're getting eggs from their chickens already. I think the burpee people are practicing. Everybody that's got an idea already is just getting ready. And we're going to see what God does week by week through this series. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for us. It's a difficult world we live in right now, but God is bigger, and God is greater, and God is powerful, and he's compassionate. He changes hearts, and he changes lives as we yield to him. So let's just pray that God works in us as we gather together today and finish up. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for what you've done in the past in each one of our lives. And we look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We look to him, Father God, as we get started on this time in our church, this powerful time in our church. We look to him and we look to you to work in our lives. Change us, transform us, speak to us, move us. Fill our hearts with enthusiasm for you. Help us overcome obstacles, free us from pains and discouragement. And break strongholds in our life, Father God, and lead us to see you around us. Open our spiritual eyes. We want to be transformed. So today we yield to you, we surrender to you, and we ask you to show us who you are in a greater way. So at the end of this, it's not about who we are or what we did. It's who you are and what you're doing as the God of this universe. Father, I pray for anyone here today that may be struggling with different things. I thank you that you come alongside and you mend and you heal and you make whole. So, Father, we just put our lives in your hand. Look forward to what you're going to do in the name of Jesus. Amen. As we wrap up, I want to thank everybody for being in the room. Thank you for being online. If you haven't gotten a Rooted book and you want one, we have some back in the lobby. We can help you get that. If you need to get your $100, we have that too. For those in the room, there's communion outside on the way out. Again, we're doing this kind of COVID. Instead of doing it together, it's kind of there. And we'd love to pray for you or answer any questions. So thanks, everybody, for being here. Have a great week.